Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's pray real quick. I want to pray. You know, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your church background is. But here at Faith Family Church, everybody brings something to the table. There's a chapter in Mark chapter 6, I think it is. A passage where it says Jesus went to his own hometown and he couldn't do any mighty work there because the people wouldn't believe. Isn't that interesting? That unbelief could stop the Son of God from doing something. Now, sometimes we read through the Bible and we just think, these are neat stories. Look at what happened when Jesus was there. But the Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So if that's in the Bible and there's more than two here this morning, that means if we're in faith, he's here with us. Amen? And so we want to believe to hear from him. You don't want to just leave this service with a nice thought. You don't want to just leave this service with some interesting points from the scripture that you can look at and think about and talk about. You want to leave from here changed by the presence and power of God and the word of God. Amen? And so if that's new to you, don't shut it off, because different denominations have different traditions and ways of doing things. We're not necessarily trying to copy a denomination. We just want to do what God said in his word, okay, to us. And so you say, what are you saying by this? Let your heart go out and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me what I don't know. Enlighten my eyes. Open my understanding. I don't care if you've been served the Lord for 1 year or for 40 years. How many know God could probably show you something new? You think he might know something you don't know? Okay? Let's think about it. Even if you lived to be 100 years old on this planet, how many think that would be pretty long? But compared to God, how long is that? If a day is as 1,000 years, you haven't even reached a day yet. So he knows a little bit. So we want to hear from him. Amen? So let's pray. If you just bow your heads and just agree with me in your own heart. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet. Lord, we thank you that you're such a good God. Father, that you love us, that you care for us. In fact, you gave your best for us. You didn't withhold Jesus from us. So we know you're not going to withhold anything else from us. Father, this morning we look to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are the one who guides. You are the one who opens the eyes of our understanding. So Father, this morning, I just yield to you. Lord, I yield my tongue to you. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, just as the authors of the Bible would say, Father, in your word. Father, speak to the hearts of these people. Give them understanding and insight. Let them experience life in Christ, Father. And we ask you to do it by your Holy Spirit. And we agree together that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts and minds that understand. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. So there are 176 verses in the chapter in Psalms 119. So there's a lot of ground to cover. So I hope you brought your pillow. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about, we started a series last week and we had some technical difficulties, so we weren't able to put it on the website. Incidentally, if you go to the website, all the messages are downloadable for free. If you want to catch up to where we are, we've already gone through 4 different series. This is our sixth or seventh month going, something like that. Goes fast. So if you want to catch up with us, you can listen to the messages or download them to your iPod, whatever you want to do online. But we're talking about the path of light, and the main text that we're getting this from this morning is, as far as our main scripture that we're launching from, is Psalms 119, verse 105. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And this is some of the thoughts that we've already given to you, and I'm going to go over just a few but to review, and then we'll break into some new stuff today. But here's a couple of thoughts for you. There is no church authority who can speak on an equal level with the Bible. Listen to me closely. If we read a passage of Scripture in the Bible, and we see it consistently in the Bible, I mean, it's not just one verse, you know, because you can make the Bible say anything you want. Judas went and hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. You don't want to do that, right? Some of you are like, not sure about that. But those are both scriptures in the Bible. So we could make the Bible say almost anything you wanted. And there are rules to interpreting the Bible, but when you see a consistent theme in the Bible where God refers to a consistent subject over and over and over again, he's trying to get a thought across to you. He's trying to illuminate a path for you. He's not just giving you information in the sense of, oh yeah, I know that, that's in the Bible. What he's doing is, he's saying, look, this is information for you. I want you to walk, think, talk, speak, and act in line with what I'm saying. Does that make sense? So there is no church authority who can speak on an equal level with the Bible. I don't care what denomination it is. If a preacher gets up, if I get up, and I say something contrary to the Bible, you need to go with the Bible. Put it to you like this. Some of you are familiar with your Bibles. Paul said what? Follow me as I follow Christ, right? Which means Paul's saying, let's put it to you like this. Paul's saying this, if I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. Does that make sense? Okay. You say that's a pretty strong statement. That's the Apostle Paul. Listen, the Apostle Paul bled just like us. Are you hearing me? That what the Apostle Paul wrote down was of the Holy Spirit. He was just the secretary. Amen? What you see in truth in Scripture, and Scripture is infallible. We believe that. It's undeniable. It's God's immutable word, okay? I'm not saying that at all. There's not variance in what Paul was saying. What he wrote down and what we have recorded, what Paul was saying is, look, guys, if I get off in my lifestyle and I'm not following the revelation that you got from me, from God, through me, from God, then don't follow me anymore. That's a good heart. You know what I mean? I don't care what denomination, listen to me closely, I don't care what denomination, what group, I don't care how high up they are, I don't care what kind of education that they have, I don't care if they're a doctor something or other, or a PhD. You know, PhD stands for post hole digger too. I don't care what level they have, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God in the natural, I don't care what level they hold, position they hold. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, what can we do? We can go ahead and brush it away and go, you know what? That's not what the Bible says. And we can follow God's Word. And how many know it's safest to be with God? It's safest to be on His side. Amen? Okay. D.L. Moody saw this. I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. Another gentleman by the name of Joseph Parker said this, after reading the doctrines of Plato, Socrates, or Aristotle, we feel that the specific difference between their words and Christ is the difference between an inquiry and a revelation. Amen? The Bible, this is from a theology book that I have, but it says this, the Bible is the account of God's efforts to reveal Himself to man. That's what it is. The Bible is... Another statement is this. When the Bible makes sense, don't go looking for any other sense or you'll end up with nonsense. The trick is, in American Christianity, and the way that we live, and I believe that God's changing this in America, because we have, there's a church on every corner, almost. I went to Bible college in Oklahoma, and there literally is a church on every corner. I was a youth pastor at a church for a while, and there was that church, a church right across the street, and the church right next to us. So you could just pick your favorite flavor. It's kind of like 31 flavors, Baskin-Robbins. You pick your flavor. But what we've become accustomed to in America is we've become accustomed to coming and sitting and listening and thinking we did something. When that's not what God's saying. Now, you should come, sit, and listen, okay? Of course, the ministry gifts are given to help you mature in your relationship with the Lord and to give you tools that will make you effective for God in your world. That's why He's given you the Scripture and the ministry gifts to help you understand how to fellowship and know God intimately for yourself. The primary purpose of the church is to not just gather a lot of people to follow an exciting personality. God doesn't just anoint a man with, you know, how many ever heard of Joel Osteen? Heard of Joel Osteen, the TV guy? He's got a good-sized church. I don't know what it is. I want to say like 40-some thousand people or something like that. And why give a man that much influence? Why would the Lord do that? Does the Lord want Joel Osteen to just be put up on a pillar and everybody go, I follow Joel Osteen, that's what I do? No, God is giving a man influence so that that man can then put glory back to God. Amen? I mean, the understanding and the revelation that Paul gave to us, he didn't get it so that everybody could look at him and go, wow. Did you read what he said? Were you in the service? How many think Paul's services were probably pretty good? How many think Jesus' services were probably pretty good, right? All right? So, I mean, they filled thousands of people on a hillside. And they'd sit there for 3 days and listen to him teach. It's interesting. But anyway, why have that? Why? God is trying to have a personal relationship with everybody. You know, you may be limited in your ability to know, 100 people. But God can know everybody intimately on the planet all at once and have a conversation with everybody and not even break a sweat. We have no concept. Our minds go, what? God is not, in heaven. You know, have you ever seen those old-time operators where they had the switchboard? Prayer's coming in. Which line? Which line? No, that's not God. He's cool, man. He's cool. He's just sitting on the throne. He's not breaking a sweat. He's not nervous about ISIS. Not even a little. He's not nervous about the politicians in America. He's not worried about it. Why? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all already. And so he's very cool and collected, and he can know everybody, and that's what he's trying to do through his word. He's trying to open you up to who he is. And not just on a level, because this is true in Christianity just as a whole, not just on a level of when I die, I'm going to heaven. Listen, I would go for it, honestly. I would be in if it was I just didn't go to hell. I'm in, okay? That's enough for me, because eternity is a long time. It never ends. But God did more than that. He gave you the ability to hear from him personally through his word and by the Holy Spirit living within you right now. Amen? And so you don't have to be, you're not just in your Christianity waiting to die. When I die, I'm good to go. That's awesome. But what about all the days while you're on the earth? You've got a call and a plan of God on your life. And God wants you to fulfill it. People say, I don't want to preach. You don't have to. You could be called to be a nurse for all I know. I don't know what you're called to. I mean, there are guys that are called to professional sports. I thought I was at one point, but it just didn't happen. It's whatever your heart passion is. God wants to be intimate with you and know you so that you can express him there. I mean, I've seen stories. There's some church, and I don't know the name of the church, but it's a pretty good-sized church. I saw a video on it, and they do MMA fighting. The pastor's an MMA fighter. I am not called to that. I don't want to get hit in the face for Jesus. You know, I don't want to be kicked. But that's their passion, and they're sharing Jesus. You know what I mean? They're making a difference in their world. I saw a video of a guy the other day. This stuff interests me because I'm a preacher. But this pastor rides a bull in his sanctuary. You know, they have a ring set up. It's like I guess it's cowboy church. I don't know. But he rides a bull to get people to come. Watch him, and then he shares the gospel. People say, would Jesus ride a bull? Well, he used Peter's fishing boat. Yeah. I mean, he used Peter's fishing boat to preach off of. because the crowds pushed him up against the water, so he got out in the boat and preached from the boat. He'll use whatever talent you have, whatever area you're in, if you'll listen to him and know him and follow his word, he'll use you as a light in your world. And it doesn't mean you have to become a preacher. Everybody is called. Not everybody is called to fivefold ministry. Everybody is called by God to serve him. Everybody. Even the people, listen to me, even the people that are not born again, that don't know Jesus, they're called. Well, say, how do you know? Because the Bible says that before we were ever born, God planned out our life for us. Those people say, I'm not walking it out. You should listen to him more. And you will. But you got to get to know him first, amen? And you do that by getting to know him through the word of God. All right, here are six reasons to study your Bible. Are you ready? There is no person on earth who is exalted above the Bible. We already said that kind of in one sense. So number one, there is no person on earth who is exalted above the Bible. Number two, there is no church authority who can speak on an equal level with the Bible. Number three, there is no so-called, listen to me, new revelation from God that is not already contained in the Bible. You hear me? Now, my background is, I was raised at Faith Chapel here in Billings. And then I went off to Bible school, actually was raised there, didn't really serve the Lord very well. I wasn't a light in those days. It was more like a darkness, you know what I mean? But anyway, then I got saved and gave my life to the Lord. I was raised over there at Faith Chapel. So my background is Four Square, which is Pentecostal, basically. I mean, there are a lot of different Pentecostal groups, but Faith Chapel is a Four Square church. I believe it still is, anyway. When I was there, it was, okay? My dad actually was one of the associate pastors there for a while. And so I was raised around different things, and then recently, I went to Bible college in Oklahoma at Rhema Bible Training Center. And, you know, there's all sorts of tags on things, but basically, you know, we believe the Bible, okay? And so I've been around all different kind of groups. My grandparents on my mom's side were Episcopal. So I've been to the Episcopal church. I've had a priest serve me communion. And it worked just as well as us when we hand out our communion here. And I don't have a collar. I don't have a robe. You know what I mean? But the blood and body of Jesus Christ is the blood and body of Jesus Christ, you know? I've been in all kinds of services and seen all kinds of different things, but there are no new revelations that are outside of the Bible. So I've been around a lot of Pentecostals too. And sometimes Pentecostals will get new revelations, you know, or words, or prophetic words, or different things like that. And if it doesn't line up with the book, the Bible, then throw it out. Well, this person's teaching some stuff. What is it? Well, it's different, man. Well, does it line up with the Bible? That's how, you know, the scripture actually says that we are to test every prophecy against the word. Now, those that are wild-haired prophets, or supposedly prophets, or claim to be prophets, at least they got the title on them. Anyway, they put it on their business card. They don't like that verse if it contradicts what they think they got or what they think they know. But we don't run like that. So you say you don't believe in prophecies. The Bible says despise not prophesying. In other words, don't throw it out. But it also says what? Judge every single one. Judge every single one. In other words, look at what is being said from the light of the scripture. How do I know this is true? Because there's only one stable thing to stand on, and that's the Bible. That's the word of God. Amen? And so we have to be aware of that. There are no so-called new revelations from God that is not already contained in the Bible. The Bible is above all men when it comes to matters of faith, practice, doctrine, and conduct. All men, including the government. How do you think we got started in America? How do you think we got started? Why do you think we have it set up the way that we do as far as our freedoms? Because it is the tendency of man to want to grab control and control people. You want to know why? Because man thinks that it can have world peace. You got to be kidding me. There's only one way world peace is happening. Jesus returns. Now, They're going to think they get it, and that's when we'll see the Antichrist, and I'm not going to get into the end times. But anyway, that's the direction that man wants to take it. But listen, how many have read through the book of Acts where they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus by the authorities that were above them? So at that point, what do you have to do? You have to make a decision. Is the Bible my authority, or is this man my authority? And at that point, what did the apostles do? They looked at him and said, look, whether it's right or not to serve God or to preach in the name of Jesus, you decide for yourself. But as for me, I'm going to go preach Jesus. Well, then we're going to kill you. It's worth it. Is it? What did he give for you? And people don't like to think about that. So we'll back off it a little bit. But anyway, look at it. See if it's in there. Could we get to that place again? It's possible. Is it going to happen? I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. Okay? I can't tell you that. And I'm not trying, I mean, this is no reason to be afraid either, because we have the Lord with us, amen? But we are used to our freedoms, and the enemy has the ability and has worked very well at doing some of the things he's done to America and to the country. And so we have to be aware of that even when we go to the voting booth, amen? So there's nothing that is in this, as far as man, structures of man, that is above the Bible as far as that's concerned. Number five, the Bible is our source of authority. It is what we believe. It is the foundation for our faith. And number six, the Bible is the Word of God. It is God speaking to me. All right, say this with me. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. People say, God never speaks to me. That's because you're not opening your Bible. You say, I've heard you say God spoke to your heart. He does speak to my heart daily. But I go to the Word first. And the Spirit that wrote the Word lives in my heart. They agree. Does that make sense? You say, how do you know it's the voice of the Lord? It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's freedom. It's light. He is everything that is in this book. They're one. And we're going to see it here in just a little bit. They're one. The Word and God are one. So his word gives us light. Psalms 119, 105 again. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It is a light unto my path. The word of God is a quenchless light. The advancing intelligence of humanity will never supersede its necessity or dim its luster. Oh, we know so much. Actually, we know so little. We still can't even figure out the dinosaurs. We're pumping money into it, buddy, though, man, are we ever? Studying those fossils. You say you're against fossils. No, I think it's cool. But we know very little. If our perspective of this earth and what we know, again, is maybe 100 years long, even if we have generations of historical evidence that we dig up and look at, we still can't go back there and observe how they acted. All we can do is guess. I mean, T-Rex could have been a vegetarian. We were like, no, I saw in the book he was eating another dinosaur that was eating leaves. How do they know that? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a lot we don't know. And so we need to go back to the one who knows it all, which is God. Amen? All right. Psalms, I'll read it in the New Living Translation. It says this. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. When man thinks his knowledge or wisdom supersedes the truth of the word of God, then man's wisdom has become foolishness. The Message translation says this, By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on the dark path. Have you ever been in a situation, man, I just don't understand what's going on? Have you looked with the light? Have you gone back to the light? Christians are notorious for this. I've done this. Look at something, look at something, look at something, and go, I just can't figure it out. Light. I just don't see how this could be like this. If you can't see, what do you need? light. Does that make sense? And think about what the Bible deals with as far as answers. How much information is in here on how many subjects? I mean, it's eternal. And so you need to go back to the light. You guys are thinking, that's good. So God's word brings light. Let's go to stay in Psalms 119. Let's go to verse 130. You think the guy that penned Psalms was like, 131. How many more verses, Lord? Just 176. So light, the word light basically means happiness. It means bright, clear, day, light, morning, sun. Psalms 119, verse 130. This is the entrance of God's word. Look at this. It says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives what? Understanding. It gives light, but what's the next part of the verse? It gives what? Understanding to the what? To the simple. Who in comparison with God is simple? Everybody should be raising their hand right now. Yeah, I know, you're all writing everything down. I pulled a fast one on you. Compared to God, we are like, you remember those first readers you got when you were, yeah, about, who was it about, Dick and Jane? Yeah, yeah. Compared to God, that's who we are. You realize this. Okay, how many have kids? How many, when they first started to like color and draw and they bring you a picture? Now, I've got them next to my bed on tape to my wall. They're the pictures next to my bed, the ones that the kids draw for me. This is a picture of you, Dad. Really? You know what I mean? But what do I do with them? They don't want to put them up in museums or art galleries, but what do I do with them? I tape them all on the side of my bed. Why? Because they're precious to me because that's my kids, right? Like the other day, Ian got stuck going with his older sisters. Well, he made the decision, but I think he was hoping out because Grandma went too, so I think he was hoping he might get something out of it, but it ended up being a disappointing trip for him. And they went to... He was going to stay with me, but I was working, and so he decided maybe go with them. They went to the mall, which, Lord bless the mall, I don't like it. But anyway, so there's a store there for girls called Claire's, is that right? Yeah, okay, so it's got earrings and, why am I even trying? Okay, it's got girl stuff in it, all right? It's got a bunch of stuff in it. And so Ian has to go because he's with his grandma, his Grammy, which is his great-grandma, his mom and his two sisters, and they're in this store. And he's walking around in this store, and I know the look on his face. Heidi was just telling it to me. But, and this is just a story to show you how precious kids are, but, and they do things wrong, but you don't care. And so he walks up to his mom, and he says, Mom, this store is just a girl's store. So apparently he saw somebody do quotes, and he's doing this. You say, what's that got to do with anything? That's how we are to God. You understand? God, it's like this. And the Lord's going, no, sweetie, you did it wrong, okay? It's like this, okay? But if we bring a picture to him that we drew, what does God do? He doesn't go, come on, I made the universe. What is that? Is that a scribble? Where's the arm? Where's the head? No, he goes, whoo! Michael, Gabriel, look at this. And if there's a fridge in heaven, I don't know if there is, he puts it on the fridge. You know what I mean? Why? Because he loves us even though we don't know that much. So we need to go back to him and back to him and back to him until we grow and grow and grow and we become effective in this life for him by following the path of light. He brings understanding to us. He brings light to our eyes and understanding to the simple. It's okay to be simple as long as you acknowledge it and then you go back to the one who's not and you learn from him. And as you do, your life will just brighten up. You know, Proverbs talks about the path of the just is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter until the perfect day. Listen, my life today compared to where it was 20 years ago is amazing. And so I'm not going to start trying to figure it out on my own again. Well, how am I going to handle these kids? Well, let me just think of what I can come up with. We don't know enough, so we have to go back to the Word. Well, how am I going to handle this situation in my marriage? We don't know enough, so we have to go back to the Word. Well, it just doesn't make sense to my mind. That's just because we are so limited in our understanding. It's not because God is doesn't understand this generation. It's an old book. You know, God's been around for a long time, but he ain't old. God's not in heaven. You know, they're trying to keep his head up, sitting on the throne. You ever seen an aged person, my grandpa, before he passed away and went home to be with the Lord? We'd go visit him, and he was so excited for us to be there, and he'd sit down in a chair and fall asleep. Why? His body was wearing out. God's body's not wearing out. He's just, I mean, he can run with you any day and outrun you. Amen? He's in good shape. And someday, you will never age. Now that's a nice thought. Isn't it? Never have an ache. Never wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, whoa, what happened? Never have a lack of energy. Never sleep. Heard a testimony about a guy. I don't believe all afterlife experiences where they come back, but there are a lot of good ones. Testimony about a guy who was a crusade director for a major ministry. He ended up dying. And as a crusade director for this particular minister, he was, before he did that, he was a runner in high school and track. He did cross country, all that stuff. Loved to run. But then as his body got older, it wore out a little bit. And he had to have some knee surgeries and stuff. So he couldn't run anymore. But after he died, he ended up, I think it was having a heart attack or something like that. But anyway, passed away, went into the presence of the Lord, and he said, after he had passed away, he went and he was in this, he called it a big field, and there was a white picket fence. No, there's a field next to him with a white fence next to him or some sort of fence next to him, and he was on a road running. He was just running. I mean, he was running. He said he was running like he had never run before in his life. And he just loved to run. Now, I don't know many people like that. But he just loved to run. And he was running and running. And his wife was back on earth, of course, and in the emergency room with the doctors going, shock him again. Because they're trying to get his heart to start, you know? the doctor's like, you know, she said, I'm trusting God, shock him again. So they do, and he comes back to life. He comes back. And so they get a pulse on him, all that stuff, and they get him resuscitated. They get him back to where he's communicating with his wife, and he is so mad at his wife. Why? He was free. He was in heaven. And he got brought back to what? The body that's dying. And he told his wife, he said, if I ever die again, don't touch me. Stay away. I don't want to come back. You say, why you say that? Listen, don't feel sorry for those that have died already and they knew the Lord. Amen? They're doing good. Really good. If you're crying, most of our tears are for ourselves. They're not for the person because we know where they are. Don't feel bad for them. They're doing all right. Never an ache, never a pain. Gold streets. Wonder what that's like. What if you pulled in here today and we had gold streets? Yeah, somebody would be outside with a chisel going, got to get some of this gold out of here, man. But the Word of God does what? It gives us light. It gives us understanding. When you are facing a challenge in your life and you don't understand what to do, you can almost say you are in the dark about it. So from the Scripture, what we do, what we know the Word of God will do for you. So from the Scripture, what do we know the Word of God will do for you? It will shine a light on the situation. Often the difference between solving a problem and living with it is just a matter of having light to be able to see. That's it. It's just a matter of having light. You say, what do you mean by that? Hear the word, do it. The doer of the word is blessed. That's what James says. Which means the hearer only is not. You have to apply it. You say, how do I apply it? Look at it, think about it, and say, Lord, how do you want me to apply this? You know, let's just take the subject of walk in love. The Bible says love is patient and kind. If you're not being patient and kind with somebody, then what do you need to do? To walk in the light. You need to what? Be patient and kind. Well, I don't feel like it. God's not asking you to feel it. He's asking you to faith it. Right? The Bible doesn't just make sense, it makes faith. And God will give you the ability to act that way. Well, this person has ripped me off. They owe me a lot of money and they're never going to pay me. Forgive them. Let me put it to you like this. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. Did you hear me? Okay. It's like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. You'll just be stuck. They'll go on with their life and look happy. And every time you see them, you go, how can they be happy? They're a thief. No. Forgive them. Believe God to take care of you. Pray for them. And stop drinking the poison, man. Because it's just hurting you. It's not hurting them. Let God deal with them. Amen? Okay, let's go to John chapter 1. We'll finish right here. I never get through all my notes. I printed out all of Psalms 119 and put it on my tablet, which gave me 20 pages of notes. Somebody say, praise the Lord, he's not going through those. I would recommend to you, and we're going to hit it too, but if during this series, if you just want to go back to in your own time, just read Psalms 119 and look at the respect that David had for God's word. I mean, it is just, it will make you hungry for God's word. It'll just create a hunger inside you. And that's what you want. So we looked at the word is a lamp, the word is a light. And now we're going to look at this. The Lord and the word are one. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So was the word God. Yeah, he was in the beginning, right? He was in the beginning with God. So was he with God in the beginning? Yeah, he was. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Isn't that interesting? That's a fun thought to think about. In him, now look at this, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Thy word is a what? It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light unto my path. But in the beginning was the word, and who's the word? Jesus, right? Jesus is the word. Now, Jesus is the three are one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, okay? But Jesus is the light. He's the word. He's the truth. He is the lamp that David was talking about in Psalms 119. He is the one David was talking about in Psalms 119. In fact, as I was reading over and over Psalms 119, I'm looking at it, I'm going, Lord, you answered these prayers when Jesus came. You answered these statements when Jesus came. The statements that are made in Psalms 119 about the word were fulfilled in Jesus. And so now listen to me very closely because I want you to understand this. You not only have the word in front of you, you have the word in you. Because you're born again, which means you have what in you? Life, light, truth. You have the answer already. His name's Jesus. If you read through the epistles and the prayers that Paul prayed for the church, the one thing that he prays consistently is, Lord, open their eyes. Let us see. Let us see. That's why we chose for Faith Family Church life in Christ. Why? Because life is in you. Christ is in you. That means light, truth, and the path are inside of you. Yeah, but I messed up so much of my life before. So what? I did too. Stop thinking about darkness. That's just going to leave you hung up. Start following light. And you'll be surprised how quick God will turn your life around. You'll go, hey, that was just a bad dream that happened to somebody else. I don't know who that guy was. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? The old is dead. There's a translation of that particular verse where it says, where Paul said, it's, you know where the scripture says, Paul said this. He said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. There's another translation that says, I've died, and now I'm enjoying my second existence, simply Jesus using my body. I like that. Go ahead, Jesus, use my body. What do you mean by that? Use me for everything you want to use me for. If you want me to go to Africa, I'll go to Africa. If you want me to stay here, I'll stay here. If you want me to pastor, preach, go do a youth camp. If you want me to mow the neighbor's lawn, Lord, use my body. Why? Because it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It's His life that lives in me. And when you do that, imagine parenting. Imagine as you're parenting, it's Jesus parenting through you. The lights went on for people. I saw it in their eyes. Oh, yeah. I can do this. That kid is not going to get the best of me. So much fear in the earth, and we don't have to partake in it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, a better translation, I think, would be overcome it. Do light and darkness fight? Now, don't think spiritually, think naturally right now. Do light and darkness have a wrestling match? When the room's dark and the light's turned on, what happens? Dark leaves, right? No chance. You got to think that way with the Word. The enemy wants you to believe that the darkness can win. The darkness can't win. It can't overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5 says so. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, that's a good thing, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? The light, that all through him might believe. Now, what did John realize? He realized what? He was not the light, but that he was sent to be a witness of that light. Verse 9, he was the true light, that's talking about Jesus, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Think about that. I read these verses sometimes and I go, whoa, do we know what we're reading? He was in the world, but the world was made through him. That would be like if you made a snow globe and then you got in it. Some of you are tripping. You're still trying to figure it out with your mind. He was in the world, but the world was made through him. How many have read in the Old Testament where it says that God holds the universe like that? And yet, Jesus got inside of it? How big is our God? He is the great. There is no other God. Our God is supreme. You realize this? When Jesus returns, it's not going to be like, you know, the devil's going to win for a while. And then Jesus is going to come back. And it's going to look like it's the fourth quarter and we're down by 2 touchdowns and there's only 2 minutes left. But then Jesus pulls it out in the end. No, 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 no. God is sending one angel to grab Satan. Now, Satan took a third of the angels, right? And God kept 2/3. It's not like war, like everything's going to be this all out swords and shields. No, no, no. God's going to send his angel. The angel will grab Satan. And it won't even be a struggle. He'll wrap him up in a chain and then put him in a pit. That's how big the devil is. That God doesn't even have to lift his finger to do it. He just sends his angel to do it. You ever seen, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this picture that's gone around on Facebook, and I've seen it on the back of trucks, but it has Satan and Jesus arm wrestling. Yeah, right. The Bible says Jesus disarmed the devil. So how can he arm wrestle? Colossians 2:15 says so. He has no arms. All right. I think it's funny. All right. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the what? The children of God. I am a child of God. Amen. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You were not, when you were saved, you were not born of blood or the will of man. You were born of the will of God. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are what? All things are of God. Your insides have been changed. You've been birthed straight from God. You're His child. Your kid ever run behind you? This is my dad. Hide behind the dad's leg. You ever seen that? Go ahead and hide behind your dad's leg. God's got your back. He's for you and not against you. If He was against you, Jesus never would have come. Think about it. He never would have come. Why? Why? If God was against you, all He had to do is just leave the law in place. We'd all be dead. We're all guilty. Nobody clean. But Jesus said, no, I'm for Him. I'm going to pay the price for the law. The sins that are, you've got grace. You're a child of God. He's my dad. Who's your daddy? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He comes after me, is preferred before me, for He was before me. Think about that. John is preaching. And John says, look, this is Jesus. He's the Savior, and He was before me. He's here now, but He was before you? Yeah, well, it's an interesting thought. You can go back and read it again later. And of His fullness we have received, we have all received, thank God, grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Who has declared Him? Jesus has declared Him. Well, you say, what is God like? He is exactly like Jesus. If you want to walk in the light, what do you need to do? See how Jesus responded to the situation you're facing. How did Jesus respond to the situation that you're facing right now? How did Jesus react to the situation that you're in right now? You say, the boat's sinking. Yeah, Jesus was sleeping. Yeah, but the boat's going to sink. What did Jesus do to the storm? He spoke to it, right? People say, well, He just did that because He was Jesus. No, He did it as an example for you. He didn't just come. Jesus, how mean is that? Jesus didn't just come to the earth and go, I did all this stuff so you could see how great I am. He is great. We honor Him. We adore Him. He is the maker and creator of all things. But how does that help you necessarily? He didn't just do it to come show off. He did it so that you could see and then be a part of what He is doing. Amen? And so that's what Jesus did. He is the light. Now listen, this word declared is actually a word. It means to lead out, to be a leader. But it means to draw out a narrative. Or it means this, to unfold. Jesus did what? He unfolded God to us. What do you mean by that? Okay. You want to help me, Gary? Gary the usher. Okay, so I've preached on a reservation. I've preached in a couple different places as far as Native Americans go. And they give gifts, okay? So when you're done, they pay you, and then they give you a blanket, and they usually feed you pretty good, too, while you're there. And they're fun-loving people, I'm telling you. I've never joked around so much as with Native Americans when I go minister with them. They love to goof around, man. They just love to have fun. And so, what a great creation, amen? God's good, isn't He? And so, this is my last point this morning. Then we're done. So God did what? Jesus did what? He declared God, right? He did what? He unfolded Him. So what do I have here? Anybody know? Yeah, but what kind of blanket? It's a star blanket. That's what it is. So can you see the star? Let's say in the Old Testament, this is about how much they knew about God. This is about how much they knew about God. Now, Jesus is the full manifestation of God to us. There's no new revelation beyond Jesus, you understand? So this is how much we, the Old Testament, knew about God. And then Jesus came on the scene and did what? He declared God. What does that mean? He unfolded him. He unfolded him. So you know this is a star blanket, just like the Old Testament knew that God was God. But what did Jesus do? He unfolded God and gave the people a full picture of what was folded, what was hidden, what was undeclared. So how many want to see the rest of the star? Like, open the blanket already, would you? I don't know if I folded this. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll take this side, you take that side. Okay, so let's do this. Let's just stop there. So now you see more of a star, correct? So it's not totally unfolded, but what did Jesus do? Jesus, I'll let you do this one, unfolded, and then this right on this side, all of who God is. So what? You see what? The full star. Does that make sense? Pretty simple, right? Jesus is not complicated. God's not. He could be complicated to us, but how would that help us? It wouldn't, would it? No. He chose to be simple and unfold God to us and show us the whole picture. So now we can see. Now we're going to fold this up. Gary and I are construction workers, so which side are you going? This side? And that's how you also fold a tarp if you're on the job. Yeah, drop cloth. We're painters and drywallers. Did you get anything today? Now, let's stand. Hallelujah. Don't forget, right after this, we have the barbecue. If you're welcome to join us if you'd like. You say, we didn't sign up for anything. I don't care. Just bring yourself. We'll feed you. And it's at my house, which I didn't really think about where... how anybody's going to get there. Yeah, a balloon trail. Should have left breadcrumbs from my house. It's actually, I'll give you the address here in just a little bit. Or you could follow, maybe we'll do a follow the leader. Maybe that might work. This morning, I want you to go away not just thinking about, okay, I went to church. Okay, I did that, Lord. I went on Sunday. I went to church. That's good. That's only part of the battle. Now that you've come, you have to take what you've heard and apply it to your life. You say, I'm not used to doing that. Well, get in the habit of doing it. Because what happens is, if you're not applying the word, you're applying something. And if it's not the word is light. So then what is it? It's darkness, right? That's what it is. And so that's why the problems are happening that are happening. That's why the confusion's there. That's why the worry's there. You got to let that past stuff go and choose to walk in the light. And as you do, what will happen? Your life will unfold before you. You'll see it clearer, okay? Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy, your life, your strength, your peace, your joy. Everything that you are. God, you have given us everything. You told us in your word in Romans, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all of the things? Glory to God. Father, you said in Philippians 4:19 that you meet all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, you're so good to us, God. You've given us grace, peace, and joy. Lord, I just bless the people this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you bring these things back to our remembrance by the Holy Spirit. Lord, as they go through their week this week, strengthen them, enlighten them, help them apply this word. We thank you for your protection and goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.